portion of scripture that was read to us by our sister in Hebrews chapter 11. We are going to take a look on it, and we're going to look primarily on the life of Moses, one of God's servants. And I trust that you will follow me in the different scriptures that I'm going to look on. They are not going to be many today, but at least we will be looking on at least two or three other scriptures outside of the one that was read as we look to the Lord today for his goodness. Father, we bless your name.
Yes.
And we thank you that you are our living God.
Amen.
Jesus, be clear. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And so, God, we worship at your feet today.
Yes.
Every one of us here in these telephone lines, there is a purpose, we believe, why we have come together on this particular day.
Yes, Lord.
I believe, Lord God, that in a special way you have marked out today to visit somebody's heart in this service. And I'm glad, Lord God, by your spirit, those persons are here in this meeting. And Lord, I pray that Holy Ghost will direct his word to that individual or those persons so that they will not miss your blessing. I give you praise and I give you glory as we wait upon you. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.
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 I'd like to speak just for a little while under the topic, seeing him that is invisible creates a new way of thinking. Seeing him that is invisible creates a new way of thinking. Oftentimes we heard about Hebrews chapter 11. The first thing that jumped out at us is that it is the faith chapter. It is the faith chapter. You're going to see the word faith appears in Hebrews chapter 11 more than any other word. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. It continues to explain different things that happened to different servants at different times. And all that drives it is the fact that they had faith in Almighty God. In fact, the word tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The word also say to us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so faith has create a foundation on which we can launch ourselves, our relationship into the atmosphere of God and to behold the beauty and the splendor of the God that we serve. It is all by faith. Faith which pleases God to the extent that Jesus asked his disciples at one point, where is your faith? That precious commodity all of us possess. Every one of us here on this telephone line possess it. Yes, the degree might be varied, but we all do possess a certain element of faith. Because without it, it is impossible to please God. And so we're going to look and one of God's servants who uses faith to an extreme level where it guides his thinking and it changes his course in life. And here we're talking about Moses this morning. And of course, as we said, the topic is seeing him that is invisible creates a new way of thinking. We're talking about Moses here, who grew up in King's house. And of course, his past is well documented. In Exodus chapter 1, if you go there, 1, 2, and 3, you're going to find interesting reading in regards to Moses. And I would encourage you, in your spare time, you go to these three chapters, and then you're going to find the total detail of the servant that we're talking about. It's interesting to know that there is a similarity, which we will make mention of in a little while, between Moses and the Lord Jesus. And as you read those three chapters, you are going to discover the same. There's a similarity in terms of their performance, the relationship with God and the people, and their views on things around them. And some of that I will mention as we go forward. But the word said to us this morning that in verse 27, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And remember what we said the topic is. Seeing him that is invisible creates a new way of thinking. Brothers and sisters, let me say to all of us here that verse 26 of Hebrews chapter 11 speak to us in a very, very powerful way as it relates to Moses and Moses' action. What we see from this passage of scripture, going back to verse 25, is that there comes a time when one has to choose, one has to make a decision in life about which direction you want to go, about what it is that you want to do, about what course of life you'd like to tread. It all comes down to making a decision. Every one of us here, as Christians, we have, at some point or the other, made that most important decision. It was a choice. We have made a decision to follow the Lord. We didn't just get up and find ourselves in church having a testimony. It came to the point, to a point where we assessed for ourselves as to whether or not we should take this course. And we do. It is called a choice that we made. And here we find Moses. Here we find Moses, as we heard our sister read this morning. There comes a time he refused to be called Pharaoh's, the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to identify himself with kingship, with royalty, with the glitter and the glory of kingdoms. It is a choice that he made. And what the word tells us, as I go back to verse 26, esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Or he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. What he did, as we see here, Moses chooses to esteem the reproaches. To esteem the reproaches, saints, of Christ. What do you mean by reproach? What is it about reproach that Moses chose? When you look on the word reproach, you find it says that reproach means disgrace. Reproach means shame. Reproach means dishonor. Reproach means negativeness. And this is what the word is saying to us, that the servant of God chooses over what? The riches of Egypt. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. In other words, he was in a position, he came to a place as faith leads him. Faith leads him to see beyond what is currently in front of him. Faith has taken him out into a new territory. A territory in which he was able to see the Lord by faith. He saw the Lord. And as a result of seeing the Lord, all that is involved in King's house, all the benefits that are there, becomes puny and meaningless because of the glory and of the splendor that he has seen in the Lord by way of faith. What a place to come to. What a place to reach in God. And all of us here listening this morning as believers, I've left something for Jesus. Has forsaken something for Jesus. You know, we currently are looking on the book of Acts for our Bible studies. And Acts chapter 4, towards the end, from verse 32 down, we discover that there are some young converts in Christ who have weighed their own possession and consider those possessions worthy of giving up in order to advance the work of Almighty God. And we're talking about things like houses and land. And as much as the Bible did not mention it, it could be other things too that they considered important that they gave up in order that the work of God would go forward with great strength and authority. The young converts in Acts chapter 4 from verse 32 down. Read it. And so it comes back to this. All of us here as believers, at some point or the other, in some way or the other, have given up something. You might not, it might not be house. It might not be land. It might not be car. It might not be a business profession. But at some point, you have given up something for Jesus. What about your youthfulness? Many of us came to Jesus when we were young. Many of us came to Jesus when we were in the prime of our lives. And we gave Jesus that youthfulness so that in going forward, we're going to use this energy to glorify Him instead of using it in the world. We have given up something. Because why? Someday, sometime, the grace of God visited our heart and we found Jesus. And we gave Him our heart. And we consider Him our Savior. And we count Him worthy of receiving what we have. And we did not have much, but we gave Him our youthfulness at that time. Some of us gave up fame. Some of us gave up fame. Maybe you might not be in this company, but there are many people who do for the name of Jesus. Because faith has determined that this be done in order that Jesus be glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I remember when not too long after I got saved, there was a brother in the church, Pastor James. Some of you might remember Pastor James. He operates a television repair and a television and radio repair shop under the clock in St. Ansby. Striving, doing well. He had to be turning away work because oh, well, it was going for him. And in the middle of that, he was called away by the head of the church to go and evangelize the parish of Manchester. The apostolic church in Manchester at that time had hit a new low. And it needed revival. It needed revival at the time. And he, being an elder in the church in St. Ansby, was called away from his thriving business. Thriving business. With his family, he took in a car and he went on to Manchester. And the blessing of the Lord upon his life changed the whole picture of the church in Manchester to a level where it has now become the most vibrant area in the apostolic work in Jamaica. All upon is that a servant of God choose to obey God because he has seen something that God is saying to him. And he turned his back on his business for the purpose of elevating the work of God. And going there, God has blessed him and his family. And the rest is history here in Jamaica. You can talk to anybody, and they will testify to that fact. Look at what we have before us in the person of Moses. Moses had the privilege in King's house of being called a prince. He had the privilege of fame. He had the privilege of fortune. He is the heir apparent to Pharaoh in King's house. He was trained in all the different areas that was necessary for him to become a king. He had money. He had fame. He had fortune. He had all the different things going for him. And at one point here, he made us know that in verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season is again a matter of choice. He chooses to walk away from all these things I've just mentioned, which he describes as the pleasure of sin. And this brings us to this question here. The pleasure of sin. Don't be fooled. There is a pleasure in being rich. Don't be fooled. There is a pleasure in being famous. Don't be fooled. There are pleasure in having a special last name. If your last name is Kennedy, you consider yourself in America. As long as you're attached to that first family, you are considered in America as important. And your last name might be Biden. Your last name might be Trump. Your last name might be Onassis. It carries weight, whatever your last name is, when it touches on certain people. And he had the name Pharaoh attached to him. And so there was pleasure in your last name. There's pleasure in having luxury items. There are people who have fancy yachts and fancy cars, fancy houses, and this, and the list goes on. There is pleasure in sex. Being a prince, he was exposed to all the women in and around King's house. There is pleasure in living in King's house. To live in King's house, meaning you would have everything at your disposal, whether it is sunshine or rain falling, you would have everything to your disposal. And what we see here, especially in verse 27, is that he saw something. He saw something that was greater than anything in King's house. Anything in King's house. Because why? He saw the Lord through the eyes of faith. And it changes his thinking. His thinking was changed, and everything around him become nothingness. Because why? He had seen the Lord. We're told in 2 Corinthians that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them who believe not. The God of this world has dangled something in front of the eyes of people so that they would not see through the lenses of faith to behold the great God for who he is. Blacked out God from our eyes. The God of this world dangles the kings of this world so that they are not able to see beyond a certain level. And I'm wondering if this is where America is today. I'm wondering if this is where America lies today, that we have become so materialistic that the eyes of faith is not getting through the cross of this world to behold the greatness of Almighty God and influence our thoughts and thinking patterns. I believe this is where we need to reach, not only as a church, but as a country. We need to see beyond the cross of the things that the enemy is dangling before our eyes and to penetrate into the future, into the distant, by the eyes of faith, to behold the beauty of the Master, which will create a new way of thinking in our mind. And so we realize that Moses, as a result of seeing him that is invisible, of seeing him that is invisible, and it altered his way of thinking. He left King's house and he went into the wilderness. For another period of time. We're talking about a man which at this point was 40 years old. There are two times that Moses leaves Egypt. But we're talking now about the first time. Yes, I know that there are controversy as to whether or not we're referring to the first or second time. But this, we're talking about the first time here. And he went into Midian in the wilderness, leaving behind him all the glitter and the glory of King's house. And believers in Christ today, I believe that this is where you are. You have left behind many things in pursuit of the Lord Jesus. You have left behind many things. And I'm trusting this morning, that your faith is not wavering. But I trust that decision that you have made in leaving things behind as you press on for Jesus, I trust that that faith is still holding and is getting stronger. As you view King's house in the distant behind you, and as you cling to the promises of God before you, I trust that that is where you are. Leaving, the Apostle Paul said, one thing I do, I press toward the mark of a higher calling. He decided to leave the past behind him. And he decided to move forward. As he looked towards him that is invisible, we see Moses head towards the wilderness to start another 40 years. In him that is invisible creates a new way of thinking. Let's look on Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. And I read verse 5. And verse 7. Verse 5 to verse 7. Listen to what it says. Then said I think it might be important for me to read from verse 1 and to verse 7. So please listen. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw, remember that, I saw also the Lord sitting up on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. Above it stood seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covers his face, with twain he covers his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Listen to verse 5 now. Then said I, Woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the serpents unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongue from the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. This is the prophet Isaiah, after prophesying for many years, and we are not talking about false prophet here, prophesying truthfully, prophesying according to the word of God, prophesying to God's people about incoming judgment and things pertaining to holiness, working for the Lord for many years. But in the course of all of that, there was a king, King Uzziah, that he idolized, that could not be run in any shape or form in his eyes. And God took out Uzziah one year. Uzziah died. And the minute Uzziah died, the word said, Isaiah saw the Lord. He saw a bigger king than Uzziah. He saw a greater king than Uzziah. He saw somebody who is more influential than Uzziah. We are the Uzziahs in our lives. Who is that Uzziah in your life? Who is Uzziah in my life? In Moses' life, the Uzziah was the riches of Israel, with the riches of the king's house of Egypt. And God, by faith, caused him to see the Lord, and he turned his back upon his Uzziah. Isaiah turned his back upon the memory of Uzziah when he saw the Lord. And whereas he thought that everything was fine in terms of his relationship with God, when he saw the Lord, it alters his thinking. He was the one who said to himself, "I am a man of unclean lips." Why did he say that? Because he saw purity. He saw holiness. He saw the Lord. And he was able to turn the floodlight on himself and said, "I cannot even measure up to the seraphims that cry, 'Holy, holy, holy unto the Lord.' Because I'm a man of unclean lips. Not only that, I dwelt among a people of unclean lips." And then he made a statement, "For my eyes have seen the Lord." Through faith, he was able to gaze upon the splendor and beauty of Almighty God. Absolute purity. And I believe as Christians, as believers, we have been challenged. We have been challenged to employ the eyes of faith so that we can see things at a higher level. So we can behold the beauty and the holiness of Almighty God in this sin-cursed world, in this community that you live, looking beyond all of this, to behold the beauty that comes to us through these pages as to who God is. As Moses did. As Isaiah did. Let it change. Let it influence our thinking and our thought pattern. There can be in all of this a challenge to our patience. In the case of Moses, there can be a challenge to our patience. You can use the imagination of your own heart to see Moses. Don't embark on a different course. He was now a shepherd. He was attending to sheep. He had to prepare field, pastures for sheep. He had to wean off thieves who would come and take away his sheep. He had to prepare water. He had to prepare fencing. He had to prepare different things. He was out there in the sun hot, sun heat. He experienced the dew of the rain. Totally different from King's house. What must have been passing through his mind at this time? Was it regret that he had left? Is that where you are this morning? Is that where I am this morning? These are the challenges that as Christians we face. These are the challenges we encounter as believers. How do you and I stand when we consider leaving behind the things that we are forsaking to follow the Lord? And in some of us mind, it did not work out the way we have thought. Where are you at this point? A choice, and living up to the choice that was made to live the comfort, the luxury of a situation, and now beating out there by the sun, the rain, the dew, the cold, the frustration of sheep. What must have been going through his thoughts? I am seeing that going to church is a lot more than dressing up and to be among God's people. But it is more than that, friends. It is more than that. It is more than that. The ability to look through the eyes of faith and to see the Lord, and to see the Lord in His beauty, and to hold on to the promises that He has made, far more satisfying than anything that we could find around us. Despite challenges, the heartache, the frustration, the Lord tells us, 2 Corinthians 4, that the things that we see, they are temporal. But the things that we have not seen, they are eternal. And that's where we need to live. Live in the things we have not seen, as faith defines it. Faith, the substance of things not seen, the evidence of things hoped for. Living the atmosphere that is where Moses lived. When you look around us, when you look around him and you see the struggle of attending to sleep, knowing that he was called a prince, and headed towards the throne of being called the king of Egypt. And he abandoned all of those for the excellency of Christ Jesus. And now he finds himself that he does not work out quite that way, even at this point. What must have been passing through his mind? Because his original thought, he wants to suffer with the children of God than to esteem the riches. Than to take part into the riches of Egypt. Until one day God shows up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God shows up right where he know that he would recognize something different. God shows up in the form of a burning bush. Moses, all these years, 40 years, he spent there in the wilderness, in Jethro land. 40 years. And he would have lit many fires. He would have seen fire consume different elements. And he knows how fire operates. But this day, he saw a fire. And the fire was burning. And the bush was not consume. You read that in Exodus 3. And he, having the understanding as to how fire operates and what fire does, was surprised beyond measure that the bush was not consumed, yet the fire was raging. So that caught his attention. I mean, the word said he turned aside to see. He turned aside to investigate more, to wrap it around his mind. What is happening here? It was then that the word said God spoke to him. God spoke to him out of the burning bush and told him not to come nigh, but he should take off his shoes. Brothers and sisters, let me say to all of us here, God has a way of getting across a truth to us in our own language, in a language that you understand, and in the language that I understand. Moses understands what it is. When fire is burning, fire consumes. And in this case, the fire was not consuming, but it was raging. That grabs his attention because this is contrary to the norm. And we discover that the revelation of this, while Moses was out there wondering if he had made the right decision, leaving all the luxury and the things of King's house to be out here in this dew and the rain. Well, it was right. God spoke to him in a language that he understood. God caused it to pass through Moses' mind that you represent the bush. You represent this bush. The children of Israel represent this bush. And the fire that is raging is the pressure from Egypt to God's people. What we call persecution. The fire is a persecution. Yet, the fire has not conquered the mind of the people of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the midst of the fire, the people of God still hold their commitment to their Father. Still hold the commitment to Almighty God. At this point, Moses, as he watched the fire, he could see his relationship with the Lord in darkness. the spies on, the struggles for these 40 years. God had not forgotten him. But God recognized that the hardship he was passing through, could cause wavering in his mind. The hardship the children of Israel was passing through, could cause hardship in their mind and wavering. But like how the bush was not consumed, they were in the fire and the relationship still maintained with the Lord. Listen to Paul's writing to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4, and verse 9 and 10. Persecuted, but not forsaken. That is me. That is a Christian. You're in this company today, and you feel that you are being persecuted. The word is saying you are not forsaken. In the midst of your persecution, you are not forsaken. So what is the other thing that Paul said? Cast down, but not destroyed. Cast down, but not destroyed. You are that bush in the burning fire. We are that bush in the burning fire. All around us is frustration. All around us is disappointment. All around us is struggle. But the Lord is saying through his word and through the eyes of faith, you are persecuted, but you are not forsaken, and we are cast down, but we are not destroyed. And verse 10, always bearing about the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Hallelujah. Regardless of how much we are persecuted, the life of Jesus is in our body. Regardless of how we are cast down, the life of Jesus is in our body. Hallelujah. 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 And the decision that you have made, and the decision that I have made, still holds firm. Because it is by faith. It is by faith that we abandon what we have abandoned for Jesus. I am encouraging every one of us here today. I'm encouraging every believer here today in this service that the commitment that you have made, the decision you have made for the Lord, let that decision continue to guide you going forward by faith. And regardless of what might be happening around you, remain steadfast in God, because there is a reward that is greater than what you have left, what you have forsaken for him. Even your youthfulness that you have given to him all these years. In your youthfulness, Moses said here in verse 27, I read again, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And verse 26 reminded us, esteeming the reproaches of Christ far greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. There is a reward for the people of God No matter what it looks like now, there is going to be a reward for you and me if we remain faithful to the Lord. It's interesting this morning in our praise and worship. The first song, the first chorus that our sister brought out was, "I saw the Lord." Sister Judy and I didn't discuss what I was going to minister, neither did I know that she was going to do praise and worship. But I take this first chorus as a confirmation of the word to our hearts today. That seeing the Lord is most important. No matter what it is that we might possess, seeing the Lord is greater than all that we might have. Moses saw the Lord and it creates a new way of thinking. Isaiah saw the Lord and it creates a new way of thinking. But the God of this world has blinded our eyes so that we are not able to look through the eyes of faith. I trust that today that we will go to another level in seeing the Lord in his beauty and who he is and why we come to church to worship him and to glorify him. There's a lot more to it than just going to church. Seeing the Lord is most important. And when you think that it was only the message the Lord wanted to send to Moses of him having that experience at the burning bush, that you could consider yourself here as that bush which shall not consume because of your relationship with me. The Lord unfolded to his servant the bigger picture for him. Seeing the Lord and leave all the things behind him and gave him an assignment that would determine the rest of his life. The assignment of taking the children of God out of bondage, out of the bondage of Egypt, and bringing them into towards the land that God had prepared for them, and leave Egypt behind once and for all. He left Egypt the first time, but it was him alone. This time, God is giving him an assignment that not only him will leave Egypt, but the entire household of God will leave Egypt. Hallelujah. The entire household of God will leave Egypt. That is where we are this morning. We have left Egypt individually. We have left the Egypt land individually. But the time is coming. Hallelujah. The time is coming when collectively all of us as believers are going to leave Egypt. We're going to leave the sin-cursed world. Hallelujah. And we're going to be led by another mediator. And his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And you ask me what it is that Moses and Jesus has in common. I want to tell you there are many things that that both have in common. Just to touch upon a few of those things, Moses was a lawgiver, so was Jesus. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. They were both lawgivers. Moses was a prophet, Jesus was a prophet. Moses was a mediator, Jesus was a mediator. Moses' life was threatened by the king Pharaoh. Kill many young children, young boys, in an effort to kill Moses when he was born. we are told in Matthew that King Herod killed many children with the intention of killing Jesus when he was born. The both of these two things in common. Moses was described as a shepherd. Jesus is a good shepherd. Amen, somebody. Moses was known as a meek man. Jesus was without a doubt a meek man. Hallelujah. 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 Moses led God's people out of captivity, that is, out of Egypt. Jesus is taking us out of this sin-cursed world with the intention of presenting us before the Father. Spotless, His bride, as He redeemed us by His own blood. Moses performed many miracles, as we have heard about the different plagues in Egypt. Jesus performed many miracles by raising the dead, healing all different types of sicknesses and diseases. They both experienced transfiguration. Moses experienced his own life, his own features changes when he went to receive the Ten Commandments. His face shone so bright that the people could not look on him after receiving the Ten Commandments. Jesus, on the Mount of Transfiguration, was transformed. And they say that, and the word tells us that his countenance shone like the sun in his brightness. And let me stop here, because there are many, many more things that we see Moses in relationship with Jesus. Moses was rejected by his own people. Moses was rejected by his own people. Jesus was rejected and killed by his own people. The similarity of the two leaders, the similarity of the two lawgivers, the similarity of the two redeemers. Moses and Jesus, but Moses in his prophecy said that the time is going to come when the Lord is going to raise up a prophet like unto me, referring to Jesus, referring to Jesus. And the Apostle Peter made mention of this in Acts 2, as he quote Moses. Stephen made mention of it in Acts 7, as he quote Moses in regards to Jesus. We have a mediator called Jesus who has come to redeem us back to the Father and to take us out of the bondage of Egypt. The sin bondage, to redeem us unto himself. Brothers and sisters, when you look on these passages of Scripture, when you look and see a man who by faith has turned his back upon King's house and all of it are so awful, we realize, saints, that we too need to turn our backs upon the things that the enemy is dangling before us, and let us see Jesus, high and lifted up, with his train fills the temple. Finally, so important it was in the eyes of God, so important was Moses' life and the decision that he had made in the eyes of God, that the word tells us that it was God who buried him. He died, and no man up until this minute knows where God has buried him. No man knows where God has placed his body. God showed him that where his people was going to go. And God said, you will not go there with them, but instead you will sleep here. God buried him, and no man up until this moment knows where God buried him. But the next time we see Moses surface, was in Mount of Transfiguration with the Redeemer, the second Redeemer, Jesus Christ. The second mediator, Jesus Christ. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when he was there talking to Jesus and Elijah. God knew where he had buried him. And now we appear with Jesus in a living form. I want to tell you the reward that is awaiting us is of such that we are going to appear again. Let us abandon the things that will wear us down and chop us and forsake the pleasures of sin for a season. Let us look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame. Believers, let us exercise our faith in God regardless of our surroundings. Let us see him that is invisible, which will create a new way of thinking in our mind. Father, we bless your name this morning, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for the enlightenment of your word for us. We thank you, Lord God, that we can reach a place where we see you high and lifted up, and your train fills the temple. Thank you, Lord God, for everything you have done for us, in Jesus' name. Amen.